is. A very good afternoon. Welcome along to the show today. Don't forget, by the way, at any stage, if you want to support us, if you want to help us, you can. All you got to do is go to our website. Go to our website, nileboylan.com. You can support us there by registering. Now, when you register, by the way, you can support us by subscribing monthly, and that's $5.99 plus tax, which is like buying a cup of coffee or a pint of beer between the three of us, because we don't get paid. All last week, of course, we covered the referendum. All last month, we've covered every single topic, including freedom of speech, governmental topics. We talk about things that don't get talked about on radio in other places. We give you a voice on the air. Your opinion is really important and we don't censor it. It gets challenged from time to time, but we won't censor your opinion. So please support us to continue doing that every single day. And the way you can do that is by subscribing on the website, because we don't get any money from your license fee. Mind you, even if we did, we wouldn't spend it on flip-flops. And also, you can donate on the website as well. If you want to donate just a fiver, you can. If you want to donate 5 million, you can. Whatever you want to donate. Thank you to everybody who's subscribed and everybody who's donated up to now. We really, really appreciate it. It goes a hell of a way towards the costs of running this show on a daily basis. We have costs including electricity, uploads, hosting, all those kind of things. So it does cost money every single day to put this show on the air. But with your help, we can keep doing that. We can make it bigger and better. So thank you. Now, today's topic, we're going to deal with a social dilemma. I actually always like these social dilemmas. And it was based on a story that I seen online. I'm going to read part of it for you, right? And it says, we are married and in a beautiful relationship for nearly 8 years. Always a good start, isn't it? During our engagement, we, like every other couple, dreamt of a family and having at least two children before we got to our 30s, so we could enjoy our lives with our family. We got married nearly 5 years ago and abandoned contraception to fulfill the dream. Within the first month, we were pregnant with our first child, and you can imagine the joy that brought both of us. 2 months in, and my wife had a miscarriage, and we were devastated. But we got through it, and through a very difficult time. It wasn't long before we were pregnant again, and sadly that ended just after 3 months. It was so sad, and my wife was distraught, as was our dreams of having a family, which were now getting more distant. We arranged to see a specialist, and my wife had many tests done, including a problem that I won't go into because it's very complicated, but sadly, she had to have surgery, after which it cemented the fact that she couldn't have children anymore. I love my wife dearly, I really do, and I thought we could get through this. Time has passed now, and each day seems to get worse. She has suggested that we go down a long and expensive road of either adoption or surrogacy, but to me, that's not really a replacement for having our own child. And the one I've always dreamed of. And how long would this take? And could we actually do it a few times to have a few children? We agreed this isn't really the route that we want to take because A, we don't have the money anyway. Over the last 6 months, we've been so down. And every time I see my friends with their family and children, I get so upset and so depressed. She has said to me on many occasions, I don't have to make it so obvious every time we go out and see other families. Last week, we had a talk and I explained how down and depressed I was. And that was really affecting me. She was extremely understandable. But of course, there's nothing she can do. She said she would understand if I needed to go and leave her for a woman that could have children for me. But I told her I loved us and I loved her. But then last week, I spoke to a friend of mine. And he said, really, if you want to be happy, you have to set her free and set you free. Otherwise, I'll resent her for the rest of my life. I'm still in my early 30s. And I know if I met somebody else, we could have a few children. She's still quite young too and has plenty of time to meet somebody who maybe doesn't want children and she wouldn't feel that same pressure on her. What should I do? Now that's a very complicated situation, isn't it? Really, to be honest with you. Because it's easy just to say, you know, you heartless bastard. You know, don't leave her. You know, she's your wife. But on the other hand, he really wants children and I know she did too. But the point is, will he ever be happy? Or will he always resent her? His mate might be right. Maybe he will resent her for the rest of his life. But let me know what you think. Would there be anything really wrong with him leaving her and finding love with somebody else and making him happy and her happy too? Let me know what you think. You can text or WhatsApp on 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. Please send in your WhatsApp messages and get involved in the show. I want to go to Angela first if I can. Angela, hi. And Angela, I want to be very sensitive in this because I know you've been down this road, so I do apologize.
No, this is actually an amazing topic. It's you know, it's a really good one. It's 7 years since my separation, so I'm well over the sensitivity part of it. my advice to this man is to go.
Oh, okay.
It is because he's never told me. My ex-husband has never said that's the reason, but I think that's the reason. 9 months into our marriage, I couldn't have kids.
Yeah,
we were young. We were young, and we did look at the, you know, adoption, the IVF, and even at the time we couldn't do IVF in Ireland.
I get the impression she can't do IVF. Now, he doesn't go into the details. He just says she's had two miscarriages.
No, because it's personal to her.
Yeah, well, he said she's had surgery. So I get the impression that maybe IVF is not a solution in this case.
It's not an option. So the adoption side of things. But, and I know there are so many children out there that need homes. But you also have to realise that a man or a woman who adopts a child, it's very tough. It's very tough if you want your own. It really is. You know, it's not for everyone. It's also extremely expensive.
And time consuming.
It is very expensive and time consuming. And it's not like you can just, you know, go down this road and in a couple of months and, you know, it takes
years. It's not like the old days where you walked into a mother and baby home and said, I'll take that one. Yeah, I mean, that's not the way it is. I mean, I remember my mom and dad talking to me many, many years later before my mom died. We had a long conversation about, you know, when I was born. And they said they used to have open days on a Sunday in St. Patrick's Home on the Navan Road back in 1963 when I was born, where the parents would come in on a Sunday afternoon and all the babies were laid out in cots. And they literally would go, yeah, that's a nice one. So
yeah. But do you know what? Just saying that, right? I can remember when myself and my ex did discuss if we were to adopt. And that was actually always going to be my line was, I chose you.
Yeah.
I chose you. And that's something new to keep in your head as well, is that your parents chose you. You know, I'm not saying other parents are stuck with their kids.
Yeah,
your
he's a good looking little fella there, yeah.
Yeah, he looks like a strapping young man. But then saying that with this man, because I know he's obviously going to be listening, he obviously has to sit down and have a good talk with her. It is going to be soul destroying making this kind of a decision. But please, please don't go down the road that my ex did. And that's me.
And have an affair, yeah. Well, in other words, don't go down the road of making a decision behind your wife's back. But what about the argument, you know, till death do us part, you know, in sickness and in health? I mean, if every man was to leave their wife just because they can't have children, you know, and I think the statistics are like 1 in 5 or 1 in 7 or something like that of women who can't have children for whatever reason. Sometimes people are just not sexually or reproductively compatible. Yeah. It's not that there's anything wrong with either party. But if they were to all leave each other just because they can't have children, it's a bit insensitive, isn't it, to leave your wife and abandon her just because she can't have a child.
I don't think so, Niall. I really don't, because why have that heartache? As he said, so new into this. And I was the same back then when I was told I couldn't have kids. I couldn't look at a child. I couldn't. Christmas was hell. Walking through a shop, a clothes shop, where you constantly avoided the kids section. It's everywhere. And I honestly think if this is in your heart and soul now, it's in your heart and soul forever. And I'd hate for it to. And the thing is, you're letting your wife, you know, maybe go and find love with someone who doesn't want kids, who is happy just to have you in their life. Mm-hmm. Whereas this man, and it's not his fault. And I don't think people can say he's an insensitive prick or he's a bastard.
But you could say that about him too, couldn't you?
No, you can't, because you cannot tell somebody else how to feel. You cannot tell someone that.
I mean, can you imagine my situation now? I mean, look, myself and Karen, obviously, you know, we're middle-aged at this stage, and Karen's not going to be having children at this point. But could you imagine if I was the type who suddenly wanted children? And as much as I love Karen, I decided to leave her just because she couldn't have children at this point in her life. That'd be ridiculous. That'd be so insensitive.
It's not, though.
Because men can have children. Men can have children right up to literally the day before they die. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. But the thing is, there's also men out there This, you see, we're looking at this from the male side. There's also males out there whose little swimmers are just, you know.
Yeah, I want them to wear that, yeah.
The toilet sack.
Yeah.
You know, so this is like, this is basically like somebody has fallen out of love with someone and, you know, they want to go their separate ways. So if it's okay to turn around and say, I've fallen out of love with you after all these years, we're not getting on, we're not this, you know, we're not in love anymore, okay. I need to leave. It's the same with a man or a woman that needs to leave for this because you cannot stay for the sake of a contract.
Well, stay there for a second because I want to go to Breda and Jessica and Billy as well. Breda, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Good. Breda, I mean, the idea that you would leave your wife or your partner, either way around, just because she can't have children, it kind of, you know, solidifies the idea that women are just vessels for children. And if they're not vessels, well, they're not much use.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry, Angela, that happened to you. And, you know, I know, I know how hard it is when to want a child and for it not to happen. But I think if you truly love somebody, you'll stick with them through thick and thin, you know. I mean, and there's no guarantee he goes off and meets someone else, he'll have a child with them anyway.
No, no.
Like, you know, nope. like the universe might decide, well, no, you're not going to get one. So, you know, you can go through 10 women and not one baby will come out of the whole thing. You know, like you can make a life without, I was blessed, I got my lady in the end. But before we had her, her dad said to me, he said, look, because it wasn't happening. He said, it doesn't matter. We'll make a different life. We'll travel. We'll do all sorts of things. You know, if you love somebody, you accept the bad and the good together. And I think to get rid of his wife, who he claims he loves dearly.
Yeah. And just he must have said that at least four or five times in the story that he loved her.
At least. Yeah. But to me, he doesn't love her. Because if you're all consumed love in love with somebody, it doesn't matter the bad because the good will outweigh the bad every time. That's my opinion. I think he's a selfish bastard. I'm sorry, but
you think
I do.
He's a selfish bastard. But here's the thing. He will. I mean, okay, it's 4 or 5 years, whatever it is now, right? And he said it's getting worse every day. And every time he sees his family with children and everything else, it gets worse. And she keeps saying, "Look, don't make it so obvious." But she is very understandable about how he feels and why he's so depressed. That's only going to get worse. And yeah, you know, he'll get older, and he will resent her. This is the point he's making. He'll resent her.
But did he go for counselling maybe to try and talk this all out, even just himself and a counsellor, just to try and vocalise his feelings and for someone to maybe
say, well, look,
will it not work? No.
No counsellor, okay. Breda, I'm telling you this now. No counsellor will change your mind on this. You know, okay. It won't. Like, I mean, I know that people say to me, oh, you're so bubbly and oh, you're so happy and oh, you're so. Like, there are days there where I do sit and go, God. You know, I'm never going to have grandchildren. Never going to have a child. Never going to have, you know, what happens to me when I'm older? Who looks after me? Who, like, that goes through your head. And this is 14 years this July that I can't have kids. And 14 years later, it still sits in your brain, you know. And it is. And, like, when I think of, that man who, like, after 4 years, it's getting worse.
Yeah.
It's so tough. It is.
And would you
so
not have gone
tough.
Down the adoption side or something, Angela? No?
To be honest, I don't think he wanted that. I think it was more.
There's a lot of men don't. Own. There's a lot of men don't want that. And here's the thing, right? Can I just say to you? My mom had my sister first. And then she had a stillbirth. I think Mary was her name. She had a stillbirth. And then she had a couple of miscarriages. And that's why she decided to adopt me and then adopt my brother, right? But I always felt that my father, and I love him dearly now, they're all since passed away, but I always felt that I wasn't his. And I always got that impression. My mother would look after me really well. And by the way, he did too. That would be wrong of me to say that.
Yeah.
But I always felt there was a bond that he had with my sister that he didn't have with me. I'm not saying he wasn't proud of me and everything else, but I just felt there wasn't that closeness. And I do believe there was a bit of resentment. I think he did it at the time because they were going through a shaky period in their marriage and he did it for her. So he was happy enough, but he was a man's man. You know, he was a man's man. Yeah. So I think, you know, I wasn't his. Because I remember the day he told me that I was adopted. It was New Year's Eve. I was about 12 years of age. and I was in bed and they were out there having an argument downstairs and I could hear my sister involved in the argument. So she was about 16 or 17 at the time because she's 4 or 5 years older than me. And I remember and my mom said, oh no, don't tell him, don't tell him. And I could hear the argument going on downstairs. And next minute I heard my father, he was pissed, I think, right? But I heard my father going, Niall, come down, I want to talk to you for a second, right? And I came down the stairs and he went, just want to let you know, you're not mine. And that's the way it was, that's the way I was told, you're adopted. And,
that's terrible, and then
he said, you can go on back up to bed now. And my mother was crying and I always remember that. And by the way, it was never spoken about again until about 2 days before my mother died and I had a long conversation with her about it. But that was the way it was told to me. So I always felt there was something unconsciously in his mind. Don't get me wrong, he treated really well. He looked after me, everything else. Mm. But I do believe there was an unconscious thing in his mind that I wasn't his.
Because Niall, Kabir, it's not a secret. So two of my cousins were adopted. And on the kind of opposite scale of that as well, because I know somebody else who adopted two kids. And those kids were their life.
Mm.
But as you say, I think it's different when, and don't get me wrong here, when your mum and, let's say your mum and dad, they already had a child and they knew that they were able to have kids, you know. Whereas with couples, I think, who can't have kids.
From day one, yeah.
I think it's that little bit different. I don't know why I'm thinking that.
No, I know. I do get what you say, yeah, because it's not possible.
But then the other side happens too, guys. Like, I know a couple years and years ago, they adopted a boy because they couldn't have children. And they were told they couldn't have children. And 2 years later, along came a daughter.
Yeah, I know. I mean, doctors differ, patients die, they say. But I just need to stay there. Let me go to Jessica as well. Jessica, hi, how are you?
Hiya.
How you doing? Jessica, I mean, this guy, he wants to leave his wife that he loves dearly, allegedly, because she can't have children.
I don't know. My heart's broken for the both of them.
Mm.
It really is. But I would say to him, look, there needs to be a sit down and he needs to say, look, I love you and I don't want to have to get to a stage where it does turn to, like everyone has said, kind of hate and resentment. Like if they really love each other, they'd let each other go. Mm. I know that sounds mad to say, like being married, but if they really do love each other, they would just say, look, this is just going to cause both of us heartbreak in the long run. It's going to kill both of us.
Mm-hmm.
So just cut the losses and ties now before it gets worse.
Yeah. I find that really hard because when you're saying it, I think Breida, when she said he's a selfish bastard, there's part of me believes that too, as much as I understand what you're saying logically is probably correct.
Like being human and having wants, you could argue every want is selfish, but they're human.
But there's no guarantee if he goes to another woman that he'll end up with a child. You see, I think he's looking for, he wants the impossible. He wants to love this woman.
Or he could find someone and have a happy little family, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But what if he moves on to the next woman and she can't have children? Like, how many women will he go through before he goes, oh, well, this is just not going to happen? And lots of people end up in that situation, as poor Angela has done. You know, I was 40 when I had my lady. I really thought I was never going to have children. I was heartbroken. But, like, you have to accept things in life and move on with your life as well. And if he really loves her, like he keeps saying he does and that, they should be able to work this out and move forward.
I just don't think, I really don't think it's just as simple as figuring out moving forward. Like, I feel like this is just too big of a hurdle for him. Like, and I'm honestly not going to crucify him for wanting to have a child.
No, he doesn't truly love her if he can't get over this. Like, he loves her, but he's not all consumed.
That's a bit unfair to say. I think that's a bit unfair.
No.
If he didn't love her,
Jessica, I thought love was meant to be unconditional.
Yeah.
I mean, you're in a slightly different situation because if you get married to your
I
wife...
I know, me with my complication.
Yeah. No, you get married to your girlfriend, at least there's two options, if you know what I mean. Either one of you could get pregnant, so you have twice the chance, right? If you go for surrogacy, I imagine that's probably the only route, or borrow a penis. Mm. I mean, so realistically, you have two options.
The turkey baster.
So you have two options. But imagine if... I don't know, either one of you couldn't.
If you know what I mean? Can't, you know what, guys? We actually agreed if either of us, God forbid, touch wood, couldn't, we said, you know what? We'll just get a handful of puppies.
but you wouldn't leave Kira if she couldn't get pregnant, would you?
Well, honestly, no. But that's just because I honestly just can't imagine me without her. Like, that's just me being...
That's what I'm saying.
But that's what
love is, isn't it?
I'm not gonna crucify him though for the want that he has for a child.
And I understand that want to have a child. Trust me, I understand that. I used to have my bum up in the air with pillows under it.
Didn't know what you were going to say there, but can I just point
out? You have a mind, right?
Oh, yeah, they say if you do a handstand, you have a better chance of getting pregnant.
Well, I tell you, I used to have my bum up in the air with pillows under it. Willem wanted them to make contact. I used to be going, surely to God, one can make.
One will swim all the way, yeah.
Yeah, and then every month when it didn't happen, I used to be heartbroken. But, like, at the end of the day, when we met, we were so in love with each other. And, I mean, he took my breath away. I couldn't hardly breathe when I'd see him. And, you know, like, unfortunately, other things happened after Jenny, and it just didn't work out there. But that's not his fault.
It's neither here nor there. Yeah, people fall out of love.
Yeah, that's neither here nor there. But, like, you know... He was so good at the time saying, it doesn't matter, you know, we'll make a different life. And this is why I'm not criticising the guy for wanting to have children, but like if he's all in consumed in love with his wife, he'll get over
he can't be made to stay though, just because of this as well. We can't have children. But you love me. But sometimes love is, as bad as it sounds, love isn't enough.
Yeah, but hang on. Well, stay there, Jessica Breedy. Let me just bring Billy in. Sorry, Billy. Hi, how are you?
Niall, how are you keeping?
Sorry, Billy, for keeping you so long there.
So, you're grand.
Yeah. So, Billy, I mean, do you think that... Does he truly love her if he wants to leave her?
Niall, so just to get the facts on this one right again in my head. He's married 4 years, yeah?
Yeah, he's married. He's with her. Yeah, 8 years together. Yeah, nearly five.
Eight years together, nearly married five. And she had, was it a miscarriage she had?
Two miscarriages, and now she's had surgery. After having tests, she's had surgery. So, look, she's not having babies.
So she can't carry a pregnancy, is what we're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she still has eggs, by the same
Well, I don't know. He doesn't go into that. He said it's complicated.
All right. Complications, fair enough. But surrogacy... You know, if she still has viable eggs and he has viable sperm, why don't they go down the surrogacy route?
He said that they discussed that already, adoption and surrogacy, and A, they don't have the money, and B, he doesn't want to go down that route because he said he wants a child of his own.
Surrogacy would be a child of his own.
I know.
Genetically speaking, surrogacy would be his DNA and her DNA. Mm-hmm. And it would be a solution to this that would potentially keep them both happy and both in the relationship.
Well, he does say we agreed it wasn't the route we wanted to go because mainly we don't have the money anyway. So, I mean, look, surrogacy can cost you 30 or 40 grand.
I think, Niall, if you really, really, really want something, I'd say surrogacy is actually going to cost them less than a separation and potential divorce, number one. But, you know, I think... If you really want something and you really want something with that person, you'll find a way. And if he's not willing to try that, I think he's just being childish. He's thrown away close to a decade of a relationship with someone that he claims to love, mm-hmm. who's probably going through a situation that is absolutely devastating for her. She obviously wants to have children as well. And he's going to walk away from that without thinking about surrogacy because it's too expensive. Like, kids aren't cheap.
No.
To start with.
No, I don't
Kids
know.
Aren't cheap. It's an investment. So I think, you know, he needs to grow up and...
Jessica reckons, you know, if you love somebody, set them free. And, you know, and his mate has kind of said to him, and he... By the way, he did have a conversation. She says in the story, this is a story that was online, by the way. It's not an email we got to the show or anything like that. It was a story that I spotted online. He said that they did sit down and have a conversation. She was very understandable because every time they go out somewhere and see other families with children, of course, he makes it very obvious, you know, that it depresses him and upsets him. And he spoke to her and told her how depressed he was. She said it was completely understandable. And she understands that if he needed to leave her, so be it. But he claims he loves her. But he said, look... What's the point in me being miserably unhappy, resenting her? What's the point in her being miserably unhappy with me being unhappy? So she could go off and find somebody who doesn't want children, and he could go off still in his early 30s and find a woman that can bear two or three children for him. That's the way he looks at it. And well, Jessica thinks, well, why not?
I was just going to say that the whole, if you love somebody, let them free. I was going to say, well, should it not be the wife that's letting him free? But by the sounds of things, she has. Like, you know, I said...
But Breda thinks he's been a selfish bastard.
He is being a selfish bastard. He's checking out. Things have gotten a little bit difficult. There's still options there. Things have gotten a little bit difficult, but he's checking out.
Sorry, Jessica.
But Jessica, there's still the option. There's the option of surrogacy there. You know, and I understand.
Getting a new car, that's a little difficult. But like, this is a child. This is just the whole mountain they're putting him out.
Crashing the car and getting a new car is probably going to cost you the same as surrogacy. In fairness, Jessica, like it's a similar level of investment. This guy hasn't looked into it because he doesn't want to. You know,
he's looking for the easy way out, really, isn't he?
Is it just the case that he's looking for a way out anyway now?
But not. I don't get that impression from the story that he's looking for a way out, because he talks in the story. He mentions at least 5 or 6 times about how much he loves his wife.
They protest too much, maybe. You know, is he expressing his love because, you know, he's trying to look like the good guy here?
Yeah.
No. Something's got hard. He's taken the off ramp. Just be honest about it. If you want to get out of a relationship, get out of the relationship. You know, don't make it about, oh, you can't have kids and I'm not even going to look at surrogacy, so I'm getting off here. Good luck. That's bullshit.
It's just the easy way out, isn't it?
It's the easy way out.
Yeah, Jessica, it kind of does strike me as the easy way out. I mean, when times are tough, for example, if you can't pay the bills, you know what I mean? Do you just leave your wife because you're all unhappy? You know, and at least you'd be single. It doesn't cost you as much anymore. You know what I mean?
Well, look, I'm coming from the perspective of, like you said, he doesn't really give a lot of info that could have been helpful to say, like, that they could go down that route. But I'm coming from the perspective of maybe she just can't, and the eggs, for lack of a better word, are expired for whatever reason.
Yeah, maybe there isn't. We don't know the full story there. Because all he says is,
Niall, you can get surrogate eggs. It would still be 50% his child. And if she wanted to go down that path, it is an option. There's plenty of options here. If he doesn't want to go down adoption, fair enough.
The only thing I will say, Billy, is I know somebody who's gone through surrogacy recently, and it was actually from Georgia, actually, is where the surrogacy is from. And it's a long, complicated road.
Oh, it's not easy, Niall. And like, there's plenty of stories of people coming back to Ireland and the hoops that they have to jump through to get the kids back to Ireland.
Yep.
It's not easy, but it is doable. If that's the path you want to go down, it is doable. And by the sounds of things, he is dismissing it because it's a little bit too much effort. He thinks it's going to be easier for him to go out and find another woman who wants to bear his children.
Stay there just for a second, if you can. Let me go to John as well. John, hi, how are you?
Hi, how are things?
Good. John, I mean, you heard Billy, you know, if you love somebody, well, you should stick with them. You know, he's taking the easy route out here. But Jessica says if you love somebody, set them free.
Well, this love, you know, this idea of if you love somebody, you set them free. A lot of times they come in with a situation not as complicated as this. You will find when couples, for whatever reason, decide to split up, that you will find that maybe they might both agree and say, yeah, we'll split. But you'll find out if you dig deep and like that, maybe one would rather kind of stay more than the other, but they're just going along with it because they say, look, maybe he's run his course, but deep down inside, like, I mean, either he or she mightn't really want to go. Like, no, it's hard enough, like, the minefield of life that's out there, and people, especially in today's, like, in throwaway society, like, I mean, people having affairs and divorces rampant and whatever, and separations. I mean, it's hard enough to meet the person, male or female, out there, right? So when you do meet the person, like, obviously, this guy says that he really loves this woman, right? Well, if he does love her, like, I mean, he should stand by her, like, because it's bloody hard enough, like, leaving the kids aside to find a partner that will, you will stay together for life, that you really care about each other. You give a shit whether you live or die. You'll stand by each other no matter what comes down the track. It's hard enough to find that person. And when you have that person, in which he obviously has, and she has in him, Why? No, he's the one who seems to be kind of pushing for the to move towards the door. She seems to be maybe kind of in a roundabout way, giving him kind of permission. But does she really want to do that?
No, of course she doesn't. She said, no, because, look, when a woman says something like that to you, it's like, what do you want for Christmas? Don't get me anything, I swear. I don't need anything. That means get me something nice. So when a woman says, I completely understand if you leave me, she doesn't want you to leave her. Of course she doesn't.
It's like when, you know, when your partner comes in, like, and if she's an off day, something's happened at work or something, you say, are you all right? I'm fine.
Of course she's
but
not
you
fine.
Know, you know she's not. But that means that you're supposed to explore them, like, I mean, you see she's not fine, so you must go find out what's wrong. So the thing is, like, I think he is selfish because, look, it's not her fault. Like,
Well, it's not her fault. I mean, it's nature. I mean, it really isn't her fault.
But she is being blamed for it. I've skin in the game here because one of my closest left them. Both did know the husband and the wife, right? So a bit older than me. But the thing is that he did a very good job, like beautiful detached home, like lovely car, plenty of money, walked in Ford and the design end of it, like good job, you know, pensionable job. Six miscarriages, like now that's six children she lost, right?
Yeah.
Six, like, and she never had any kids after that. Her sister had three fine, strapping young men. And he was only working in an army job, wouldn't have as much money. They hadn't the same type of housing. But just her sister, like, that they had everything, but she lost six kids. And that, like, but in fairness, they stayed together. You know, they did not part. They didn't decide.
See what I mean, Jessica? They stayed together because love will find a way.
Yeah.
I want to believe that. I really do. But I don't know if it's just because I'm a bit... I know sometimes I can be a bit sappy, but I am a bit of a pessimist as well. I do think sometimes love just isn't enough. You know what I mean?
Have you ever been in love?
Well, she is in love.
Well, I don't know. Maybe she wanted another one of
it. I only told Niall the other night when we were talking about something, and I was like, oh, you're making me sick. Make me cry here.
She is in love, John. She has a partner, you know what I mean? So yeah, but she knows love it. Now, mind you, everybody's idea of love is slightly different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but the thing is, like, if she was in this position, oh, like, I mean, would she be kind of happy to see him walk out the door just because she can't provide him with a child? Like, I mean, like, where's the love gone then?
Well, no, well, I mean, if this was me in the position, we agreed that we were just going to get puppies. That's just...
I understand that, John.
You know, some people, if they kind of understand, they have an understanding together. Look, you know, that when they're with each other first, look, you know, we'll try and have children. If we can't, we'll just get puppies.
There's many couple like they can't and just stay together, right? But just,
I know, one in five. I think it's either one in five or one in seven. Please don't quote me. One in five or one in seven women can't have children.
I just don't like to throw a comment like, let's get a puppy instead. Like, a puppy is not a baby.
I'm well aware of that, John, but, you know, that's just their way of dealing with it. You know what I mean? I just
unsettled by that kind of comment, you know.
Okay, well, let me go to Steve. Stay there, John and Jessica. Steve, hi, how are you?
Can I just say that love will find a way is a ridiculous statement to make, because love will not make this woman magically pregnant.
No,
there is a hell of a lot of judgment going on today against this man, being called him selfish bastard, calling him childish. Are we not entitled in our lives to be selfish on certain things? Is it not for somebody?
John, let me finish. If your selfishness is going to affect the life of another, you have no right to do that. No fucking way.
Okay, well, let him finish, John. Let him finish. Go on, Steve.
When it affects somebody else, John, what's happening to him, she is affecting him because she can't have a baby.
Now, John, let him finish. Let him finish, John, please.
So, John, what you're saying, if it affects somebody else, you shouldn't be able to be selfish. Well, then, obviously, what's happening to her is affecting him. So, equally, both of them have a right to live their lives whichever way they choose. And I feel sorry for this man because he clearly does love her. And taking the easy way out, losing somebody you love, is taking the easy road off. No, it's
not. He doesn't love her. He's going to walk away just because she can't give him a kid. That has been selfish, man. What part of that has been selfish? Don't you fucking understand, you dumbass?
What, John, why are you such an abusive arsehole to me when I come on here?
Because you're usually abusing everyone else, so I said maybe it's your turn.
I'm not abusing a single person, so give it a rest. Give it a
John,
rest.
John, is it not fair? You're calling him selfish. The argument Steve is making is that what he's doing is selfless because he's sacrificing his own love for this woman to go off and be with somebody else to, you know, to fulfill
that's
the dream of having
his,
children. No, hang on. He does say in the story at least four times how much he loves her. And, you know, and she did say to him during a conversation they had that she understood how depressing this was for him. And he's saying, well, look, she could be happier with somebody if she meets somebody, she's still in her early 30s, who doesn't want children. And I could be happier if I meet somebody who can have children.
Which of the decision he's taking, obviously, is a selfish one because he's not bringing her into it.
Selfish or selfless?
It's not her fault that she can't have kids. Right?
I'm well aware of that.
The thing is, they were getting along fine and this thing happened. Like, so what has changed? The only thing that's changed is, she
can't
get children.
It's easy for you, John. It is easy for you to cast judgment on this man. It is very easy for you to cast judgment on this man. You are not. Walk a mile in his shoes and see. Because I'll ask you a question, John. Is it okay to look for a partner who was... John, I'll ask you a question. Is it okay to look for a partner who was both a wife and a mother? Is it okay to look for somebody like that?
Well, he had someone like that because it's not their fault that this happened. And I mean,
That's not what I asked you, John. Answer the question. It is okay. Is it okay for a man to look for a wife who is a wife and a mother? Is that okay for someone?
But he's already has a wife.
Okay. And what about the second part, John? Answer the question. You know the answer.
Go on. Expand.
The answer is yes, it's fine. It's okay to look for both. And when you don't get both, John, what you are looking for initially in a partner, it is okay for that person to go, well, I'm not getting what I want out of this. It's okay to say
So she was doing your cancer in the morning. So if she was doing your cancer in the morning, he should walk away from it as well, is it?
He said,
Steve, if she was diagnosed with cancer tomorrow, should he walk away from that as well?
That's apples and oranges, a ridiculous thing.
No, this is not what you're supposed to
get out of life. She is going to die, the person with cancer. So obviously it's not okay. You'll end up single either way. So don't be so bloody stupid.
I know somebody, right, whose wife was diagnosed with cancer. When he heard it, he fucking walked out the gap by and checked up with another woman. What would you say to that?
Totally different situation. Ridiculous and selfish, of course. Of course, that's ridiculous, John. Nobody's talking about that. We're talking about a man who was looking for a wife and a child, and he only got half of what he was expecting. And because that, he is now disappointed, John, and that's okay.
Well, okay, Steve, can I ask you about, you know, when you marry somebody, not just live with somebody, and of course that's very topical at the moment, but when you marry somebody, it's in sickness and in health till death do you part. Mm. Love is not meant to have conditions. You don't love somebody for conditions.
Of course love has conditions. No, not that you just... Hold
well,
no, second,
well the conditions that, are as long Niall, as you treat every, each other with respect. They're the
let
conditions.
Let me finish. Niall, love has conditions. Love means you don't go out and have an affair. Love means you don't beat them up. Love means you don't treat them like shite. Love has tons of conditions. So that's a ridiculous
thing. Yeah, no, absolutely. But those conditions... But hang on, Steve. Those conditions you just mentioned, they're in your own control. You can control all of those conditions. You make a decision to treat your wife or your husband properly. You make a decision not to have an affair. You make a decision not to beat up your husband or your wife. You make decisions. You don't make a decision not to have a child. That's nature. Nature
absolutely.
Makes that decision. This is not her decision. Yeah. She didn't decide not to have a child. If it was the case, and I would agree with you, Steve, if she turned around to him after 3 years and said, listen, I don't want children. Now we're into a different conversation altogether. But she didn't say that.
Point,
she's trying her best to please him.
There was an expectation, you see then. Yeah.
At what point have I blamed this woman? I said from the very start, this is a difficult situation for both people. I can't imagine being that woman who desperately wants a child, desperately wants to be with this man, but is facing the prospects of having neither. And I equally am disappointed for this man as well, because he is going to lose his partner, because he will resent her. I'm sure he won't mean to resent her.
If he loves her, he won't resent her.
You're not in his shoes.
Hang on a second. If she loves her, how could he resent her? It's not her fault. It's nature.
I'll tell you how, John. This is a God's honest true story. I swear to God on my child's life, this is a true story. I have a very good friend of mine who, her husband suffers with a condition where he can't have anything touch his skin. If the sheets touch his skin, he screams in agony. When he was first diagnosed with this, this woman's heart was absolutely broken. And she was on the phone to me all the time telling me how sad and upset she was. After 3 years of listening to him scream, after listening to him cry, it became to her a horrible thing. She didn't want to be in that situation anymore. She still loved him. She still pitied him. But the pity ran out because she was dealing with the crap every day. Love has conditions. You can't be expected to deal with other people's shit when it lands on your plate for the rest of your life.
But you know what I mean? Look, that's what happens in life. I mean, there's no guarantees in life. There's no guarantees in life. But the thing is, like, when obstacles come up, and if you really care for your partner in life, like, I mean, you should stand by them, like, I mean.
I understand what you're saying, John, but there's part of me thinking what Steve is saying is right. For example, I only spoke to somebody recently who was living with a wife who was suffering from severe depression. And, you know, and that was going on for 4 or 5 years. They'd been to doctors, they'd been to counsellors, they'd been everywhere. And he said it's now got to a point where he is starting to get depressed because every day is another miserable day with her. And he genuinely, as much as he loves her, he's thinking of leaving her.
Yeah, I can see how that would happen. Like, I can see that.
But to back up Steve's argument, that's not her fault that she has depression. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Like, you dealt recently there with the case, like, I mean, of the wife getting dementia and your man was another woman and his daughter wasn't too pleased about it, right? No, that's a big difference there, like, if he's meeting somebody like that. But he doesn't abandon his wife and never goes to visit her anymore. And if he did that, he's a scumbag.
But, John, the whole point is resentment. You're saying he shouldn't resent her, but resentment creeps in after months, weeks, years, whatever it may be. The resentment will creep in. And when he's 60 years of age, looking across the room at her going, I could have had a completely different life, only I chose to stay with you.
Do you realise how many couples out there, like, I mean, are going through life, like, I mean, who had planned to have a family, right? And it never happened. But they stayed together because they loved each other. Like, they did not split up just because they couldn't have kids.
I understand that, John. This is nobody's fault. And they need to make the best of a bad situation. He needs to leave because they will end up in a terrible relationship.
He doesn't need to
and they
leave.
Will resent
he needs to
one
support
another.
His wife.
Okay, well, hang on. Let me just go to Karen if I can as well. Karen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. I support that man. I think it's a very, very tough situation to begin with. It's not an easy one. But I think if the roles were reversed, imagine if this was a woman, she'd be looked at more sympathetically. But because it's a man, he's looked down upon, he's called B, and he's a pig, and he's this, that, and the other. So I do support it's a tough one. I'm wondering, did they go down the road of surrogacy?
Well, they talked about that in the story. By the way, could I just mention as well to people who think it's not an email that we got at the show, it was a story I spotted online, which I thought was very interesting. But he does mention the fact that they both discussed adoption and surrogacy, but he says, but to me, that's not a replacement for a child of our own, which we've always dreamed of, and how long this would take, particularly if we want to have a few children. We've also agreed it isn't a route we can take because we can't afford it anyway.
Yeah, like, I think, look, this man is yearning to be a father himself, a biological father, and I think down the road he's going to resent that woman. 10 years down the road, he'll look at her and think, you know, he will resent her. And I think the marriage at this point is kind of, you know, it's already in question if he's already considering it or thinking about it. So
he keeps saying he loves her, but what I find odd, all the way through the story, he keeps telling us how much he loves her all the time. But so, you know, I mean, if he really loves her, I know Steve believes, you know, you should set them free. But as John was saying, if you really love somebody, you know, sickness and in health till death you apart and all that kind of thing. Are we now suggesting that women are only useful if they can have babies?
Well, look, I mean, marriage in its design is for the procreation of children, is it not? And ultimately,
it
when
is,
you go
but
and get
one,
married,
yeah, but one in seven women can't have children.
It's with a view to having children. And I think, look, I support his decision. I do support it. I think it's a very, very tough one. But I do support it. There's going to be resentment there. There really is going to be resentment. And clearly adoption is not for him. Look, and then look down the road. I mean, how many times have we seen online miracles? Couples have tried for years and they can't get pregnant.
I think she's had surgery at this stage, so I don't think that's going to be happening. Okay. I imagine that's just an impossibility. That'll be some miracle, I think, at this stage. So, but yeah. but in saying that, his argument is, you know, look, if I leave her, she could be happier. She's in her early 30s. I'm in my early 30s. She can meet somebody who doesn't want children, and I can meet somebody and have two or three children because he's still young. That's his argument, you know. But a lot of people are saying that's a completely selfish thing to do.
Was she open to the idea of adoption?
No, I don't think either one of them. Well, I get the impression he was making the decisions there because we're only hearing his side of the story, obviously, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if she's not open to adoption, neither one, and he really wants to have a child.
Yeah.
It's tough, but I support it. I do support it. Mm-hmm. I do support his decision.
Stay there just for a second, both of you, Steve and Karen. Let me go to Maureen. Maureen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
There you go. Karen says, you know, look, you know, you get into a marriage normally. The idea is to get married, have children, procreation, all that kind of stuff, you know. And if that doesn't happen, well, it's a problem, and you will end up resenting each other.
Well, it's a problem on his side. He's only married her for 4 years.
Mm.
But yet he says he loves her. I don't believe he loves her.
Well,
I certainly don't believe that.
He says he does.
There's always, maybe he doesn't want to go down that road, as you were saying. And there's always adoption.
He doesn't want to go down
that road. He wanted a child so much.
We all know how complicated adoption or surrogacy is. You know, it's a 3 or 4 year process. It's 30 or 40 grand. You know, not everybody has the money. Not everybody has the time.
No, but it's the poor point about it is that none of this is this woman's fault. And if he does walk out on her, she's going to be devastated.
She will be absolutely devastated. Yeah.
And then she might meet somebody else who may want children, and she knows that she can't have children. Mm-hmm. So it may not be an easy life for her, where he can go off and find somebody else and have children.
Yeah.
Like, my parents were married for 9 years before I was ever born, because my mother was told that she probably would never have children. And they were looking into adoption because I was in Scotland this time, just before I was born. And they just passed this orphanage where the children were playing out. You know, there was a lovely big orphanage. And there used to be one little girl. She had blonde hair. And my parents might go for a walk on a Sunday, and they'd pass the orphanage and be talking to this little girl. And my parents discussed, look, if it seems that we're not going to have any, so maybe, look, we'll go for adoption, because my father was a great supporter of adoption.
And by the way, adoption at that time, Maureen, long time ago, similar to myself, when I was adopted in 1963,
yeah,
it was quite easy in this country. There were plenty of babies to choose from, if that's what you want to say.
Yeah.
That's not the case anymore.
Yeah,
I think there was only 8 or 9 adoptions in Ireland last year.
The little blondie girl was the one they were going to adopt, but...
I mean from Ireland, so to speak. Most adoptions, as we know now, are from foreign countries.
But what happened was that my grandmother in Ireland, she came in from us one morning and she dropped dead.
Gosh.
So by the time my mother got the message through the Uddingston police station, she got such a shock that she actually became pregnant. My mother died in my grandmother, 1959, the March. She became pregnant in the September.
But that was good. At least, luckily, she thankfully did. But how would you have felt at that time if your father had left your mother just because she couldn't have a child?
I wasn't born at the time.
But think about that situation, I'm just saying. Do you think that would be a selfish thing to do?
Yes, I would have.
Mm.
But my father, asked my father, because we used to have great talks, and I said, well, you know, Dad, did you ever think maybe of me splitting up or leaving? And he said, why should I? He said, she's my wife.
There you go, Steve. Why should I? She's my wife.
For worse.
Hang on, Maureen.
For worse.
I just want to ask Maureen a question. Maureen, you know, from the information that we're garnering today, you know, it's a very small snapshot of this man's life. And you made the statement that you think he doesn't love her, just on the very limited information that we have.
No, he doesn't, because she can't give him what he wants.
So, Maureen, what you're saying is he doesn't love her. You're making that judgment call on very little information. Two things can be right at the same time, Maureen, and you know that. Maybe he does love her, and maybe he does want the child, and he's caught between a rock and a hard place. So it's a really difficult situation for him to be in.
He doesn't love her. He doesn't love
Says
her
who?
Because of the simple
Says
reason
who,
that she can't give him what he wants.
Yeah.
He can't
okay.
love her.
Who's to say that he doesn't... Hold on, Maureen. Just because she can't give him what he wants doesn't mean he still doesn't love her. You're making that call, not him. And it's his call to make.
I am making that call, yes. I am making that call. Why does he want to leave her then? Why does he want to leave her if he loves her?
Because he wants his own child. Like I said, two things can be correct at the same time.
So what happens to the woman? She's going to fall apart. She's going to feel rejected. She's going to feel like nothing.
Yes, she will. And you said there a minute ago that she will be devastated. Who's to say again that? Who's to say that he won't be devastated? You're just making quick snap judgment.
She will be.
That's what you're doing.
She will be devastated. I make any judgment I like.
What about him?
What about
him? Will he not be devastated? Will he not be devastated losing the woman he loves?
No, because he's selfish. If he leaves, he'll go off and he'll have a fine life for himself. And he won't think twice about the wife that he hurt. And hurt
your very
best.
Okay, well, hang on, just one at a time. Sorry, Karen, what are you trying to say to Maureen there?
He already sounds like he's devastated. The fact that he can't have children. And it's something, it's a yearning within him. He really, really wants to be a father. And why should anybody deny him that right to be a father? You know, we attribute all of this to women when it comes to children. What about the fathers in all of this?
Because he married his wife.
What about this man? Are you expecting this man to stay married to this woman for the next 20, 30, 40 years childless?
He's married his wife. There is adoption.
And you really think that's going to be a recipe for a good marriage down
the
road?
There is adoption.
It's a recipe for... No, he doesn't want to adopt. And not everybody wants to adopt.
Well, if they looked into it properly and spoke about it, it may happen.
Maybe not everybody wants to adopt. Maybe some people out there want to have their own children. And this man is in marriage now for the rest of his life. He can never have children, childless, and that's it. So shut up. If you want to walk off into marriage, you're a bastard, you're a pig, you're this, that, and the other. And all of a sudden, we forget about the man and all of this. This man really, really wants to be a father.
No, we're forgetting about the woman and all of this.
Well, I'm not forgetting about the woman at all. I think it's an awful situation. That woman is probably devastated, as equally devastated, the fact that she can't have children and she can't give her husband children. It's a devastating situation for all, for both parties here. And there's no blame game here. They didn't walk into this
marriage. No, there's no blame, but he is, in a roundabout way, blaming her because she cannot give him children.
How can he can't blame her? Unless, for example,
he is blaming her when he wants to walk away from her. He's blaming her.
He's not blaming her. He wants a child, and he's going to stay in a childless marriage for the rest of his life. And why should he stay in a childless marriage for the rest of his life? Why? Why should he?
Why can't he stay with the wife that he married?
Well, it's because there's no children in this marriage. The whole idea, really, fundamentally, is
they can sit down,
talk about adoption.
I agree with both of you at the same time. And as Steve rightly said, there are two right answers. You know, two things can be right at the same time.
Exactly.
But Karen, the only thing I will say is, it doesn't say an awful lot for the love he allegedly has for his wife. Because if we're rounding it off, that women are only really useful if they can have babies. Apart from that, they're not much really use to us men, unless they can have children. Well, then we're really belittling the role of women in society, aren't we?
You're saying that,
Niall. No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I don't agree with that statement. No, I don't agree with
it. Yes, we are.
I mean, no, we're not. No, we're not. I don't agree with that. No, we're not. That man has every right. That man has every right to want to be a father and to have children of his own. He has every right for that.
Yeah, you are right. He has every right for that. But unfortunately, in this situation, this circumstance, for nature has decided this woman can't have a child. She didn't decide. It's not like she's run off and had an affair or she's turning around to him and saying, I don't want children. Which, by the way, this would be a completely different conversation if 3 years into the marriage, she turned around and said, listen, Johnny, I've decided I don't want children. Well, then I would say leave her. But
Niall,
can I
point out something to you? Yeah. Can I just point out the elephant in the room here? Maureen is expecting this man to stay with his wife. Now, let's just say that somebody in this is going to end up devastated either way.
Yep.
Either he will end up devastated for staying and living with the woman
possibly
that can't have children for him, or she will end up devastated
because
he leaves. But what Maureen is asking is for him to be devastated over her. Why is Maureen choosing this woman over the man? Why is his life any less important than this woman's? I'm so confused about
because that. Because the woman is the one who feels it the most. Not
oh,
him.
Stop, Maureen. How
the
dare
woman
you?
Is the,
how
the
dare
woman
you?
Is,
how dare
no,
you
no,
think
no.
Of
how dare you?
The
woman is the one who cannot have children, so she's going to feel it the most.
And so he'll. Oh, so, Maureen, that's like saying your child dies and the woman feels it more than the man. How dare you? Men
that's
love their children.
That's not the same scenario at all.
Just as much
that's
men
not
love
the same
their children
scenario
and just as
at
much
all. And
men
you know
want
it, Steve.
Their children.
I mean, I'm pretty sure, Steve, she's not happy the fact that she can't have children. It could be. I've spoken to women on the radio before who can't have children for whatever reason, and it's devastating, devastating for them. You
absolutely.
Yeah.
And no, nobody's saying it's not, Niall. This is a shitty situation, but somebody is going to end up hurt. I don't know.
Yeah, but,
who.
But it's not a situation of her making. Do you understand what I'm
absolutely.
Saying?
Absolutely. And it's not a situation of his making. So
no, but yeah, but he's making a choice. She doesn't have a choice.
She, of course, no,
the
of
choice,
course
if she had a choice, she'd want him to stay with her, obviously.
She has a choice. She has the choice to set him free or to demand that he stay.
Well, the other choice is she would like him to stay and be happy and to just move on from
that's
it.
That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen.
No,
you know
that's not
going to
happen. That's never going to happen. That's never going to happen because 10 years down the road, there will be major resentment there in that marriage. And the marriage will already fall apart. They'll both have gone separate ways, possibly in affair somewhere along the line. And it won't. It's a disaster. It is a disaster. And they might as well face it now, head on, love or no love. But at the end of the day, I don't like the idea, Maureen, that, you know, the women are going to feel it more. That's just ridiculous. Every man and every woman, when they come together for marriage, the whole idea is procreation. And the most
well, in this case, the woman will feel it more. Do you know why she'll feel it more? Because she feels she will feel it more.
What about no? That's ridiculous, utterly ridiculous to ascribe that. That's ridiculous, Maureen. The man is not going to feel it. The woman's going to feel it more. That's ridiculous. What about, for example, they're in the clinic and they figure out it's the man? But he can't have the one. The woman is perfect and the man can't have the children. What happens then?
She feels inadequate. That's why she's going to feel it more.
Okay, well, do me a favour, both of you. Stay there because I want to bring Lorraine in as well. Lorraine, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you? Hang on,
ladies, for a second. Sorry, Lorraine. I mean, there's no doubt this is a difficult situation. You know, but is he right to leave her?
It's a horrible situation and I feel for both people in it. It's horrible to be there. But I totally agree with him. He's going to look back at the marriage if he stays in about 10, 15 years without probably be known to himself. But he'll end up resenting her and he'll end up hating her. And then he'll look at all his friends who are having kids. And I think it's better now after 4 years of marriage and just leave.
Mm-hmm.
I it's horrible and I feel genuinely for both of them. Because by the sounds of it, like Maureen said, he doesn't love her or whatever. He never once said that in the message.
No, he didn't.
It could be so hard for him as well. This is going to be a devastating thing for him as well. After 4 years of marriage, he has to get up and leave his wife. But I totally agree. I think if he stays, he's going to watch his friends all have kids. He's going to watch them all grow up. He's going to have nieces and nephews. And he's going to resent her for it. Mightn't do it on purpose, but he'll do it unbeknownst to himself. And he'll end up resenting her and he'll end up hating her.
His last paragraph, Maureen, is, "This would be heartbreaking, but I know the joy of having children would help me find happiness. And for my wife, the peace of being with a man who loves her with no aspirations of a family might work better for her too."
It might, if she met one.
Well, what he's kind of saying is maybe
he's saying
that maybe they.
He's saying
maybe.
Why are you making it, put it all on the man? He's the worst if he leaves. He's horrible if he leaves. If he leaves, he could be giving her happiness as well. She could end up with someone who doesn't want kids or that wants to adopt with her, or she could end up with someone 10 times better than he is and he can go off and live his life. It's only been 4 years of marriage. It's not like it's 20 years of marriage and there's 10 or there's kids behind them. They're only newlyweds. They can both still get out there. He wants kids. He can find someone who wants kids. And unfortunately for her, yes, she can't have them, but she might find somebody that feels the same as her with adoption or going down that route. So why not leave? And then not hate each other in 20 years' time and turn around and say, "I hate you, I couldn't have kids," and the two of them
kill
each other.
That's exactly what will happen. They will end up hating each other down the road. They will hate each other down
100%.
The road. Yeah.
100%. You can't just stay in a marriage,
they'll end up two people in the same house living completely different lives, both miserable. And the longer this goes on, the older they're both going to get, where he's young, she's still young, she obviously can't. And it's terrible. I'm a mother. I have two daughters, and I love being a mother. And I would hate the idea that maybe one day that I couldn't have had children. I don't know what I'd feel, but I'm lucky that I am a mother. But one day down the road, that lady might meet somebody else, as you say, that doesn't have children, doesn't want children. But the guy, the man, he's going to hate her. They're going to live separate lives. There'll be two people living in the one house. Separate lives. They will, definitely.
I mean, Maureen, I'm listening here and I'm looking at some of the texts and WhatsApps coming in. And I've got to be honest with you, it is kind of 50-50. But a lot of people saying the same thing, that, you know, they're going to both end up hating each other. And I can see that, Maureen, how that can end up happening. And it's not that she's just some sort of vessel for children or anything, and because she's faulty goods or something like that. You know, that's not the case. I mean, he could, as Steve rightly said, and I rarely agree with Steve, two things can be right at the same time. He could love her, but he could want to leave her too.
He could, yeah.
Because their life won't be happy, Maureen. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm still sticking to my opinion. They're only married 4 years. Maybe let them sit down again and have a really good talk about it. Maybe the two of them go to a conference and talk it out.
Mm-hmm. But why stay in a marriage that you're not happy? Because Niall pointed out she can't have kids. Like, she can't have kids.
Well, that's counsellors. You can go to a counsellor, a marriage counsellor, and sort it out.
He can go to talk to 100 people. It's not going to change his mind. He wants biological children. He wants
biological children.
In fairness, Angela, who was on the start of the show, has been down this road. She can't have children. And she said, the counsellors in the world, Maureen, didn't make an ounce of difference.
That's what I mean here. He could talk to 1,000 people and he's still going to have the same opinion. He wants his own biological children, which you can't take away from him. You can't hate him for it either.
Sorry to flip it around, Lorraine, but I mean, if you couldn't have children, I mean, and Jay left you because you couldn't have children, you'd be devastated, wouldn't you?
Would 100% be devastated, but I'd understand. If I couldn't
would you
have kids,
would you really understand? Would you really understand? Or would you say you're a selfish bastard?
No, 100% I'd understand. I'd 100% be devastated. If me and Jay were only together as long as this couple, say, married for 4 years, and I found out I couldn't have kids, and we got together in the premises that we wanted kids and this was in our future. And then we sat down and had a good conversation, and he turned around to me and said, "Lorraine, look, I love you, but I cannot stay here. I want my own children." It would kill me. But I'd turn around and I would say, you know what, off you go. There's no point in 20 years' time you turning around and telling me you hate me. I've wasted 20 years of my life when both of us could be happy. Now, I understand it'd kill me, and I'm not even going to lie. I'd be devastated. It'd be very hard to get over. But I can see where he's coming from. Biological children, and you can't take that away from him.
No, you can't take that. You cannot deny the man that. You can't. And the very same way, if this is a woman who is married, and she found out her husband was infertile, that he could not give her children, and that she wanted to divorce him and find a man that could, we'd be very sympathetic. It would be a very different scenario.
Would we be as sympathetic towards her as we would towards him? So if we flip the cards around and let's say his sperm were dodgy, and people would be coming up with all sorts of alternatives. She can get a sperm donation, she can do all sorts of things. You know what I mean?
I think society is very different when it comes to women and men. I think women are treated more sympathetically than men are. And I think it would be a very different scenario. Yeah,
it's horrible.
I agree.
I think that's cruel. Like, a man has the same right as a woman to be a mother. As the same right a woman has to be a mother, the father or man has the same right to be a dad.
All right, listen, on that note, listen, thank you very much indeed, Lorraine, Maureen, Karen. I appreciate you all coming on the air. Lots of comments, by the way, coming in here as well. I'm just reading some of them. Niall, I kind of agree with everybody on the air today, which is unusual for me. I'm kind of caught in the middle on this one. I do believe that he has a right to find happiness, and I also believe she has a right to find happiness, but I'm devastated for her that he would leave her on a whim. It does seem selfish, but maybe Steve, for the first time ever, has actually right on this one. Somebody else says, now Steve is a complete arsehole. The very idea that he would suggest that a man leave his wife that he claims to love just because she can't have children, you said it in one. It solidifies this whole idea that women are just vessels for children. Now, so are we saying that if the man couldn't have children, would we all feel the same way? Well, that's what we talked about a few minutes ago. Jerry says, there is no way people would be as sympathetic. They would be calling her selfish for leaving him. If she wanted to go and get a sperm donation. Okay, loads and loads of texts, by the way, coming in. I'm going to have to say it was kind of 50-50 in relation to this and the way people felt about it. But look, don't forget, by the way, if you want to support the show, as usual, remember, I've said to you on numerous occasions, We find it really difficult every single day. We have to pay to have this show. It costs us money. There are costs involved in the show. So please do support us. Go to our website, nileboylan.com. If you can donate something towards it, we would really, really appreciate it. If you can subscribe, it's the cost of a pint of beer or whatever it is between the whole lot of us here, three of us who don't get paid for doing this show. So please do subscribe if you can, or do donate on our website, nileboylan.com. This podcast will be available, by the way, at all the usual places, Spotify, iTunes, and indeed on our website in the next hour or so. So do get involved in the show every single day. Don't forget, we do go out live from 12 o'clock to 2 o'clock. All right. So please support us. Go to our website, nileboylan.com. That's all for now. We shall talk to you again tomorrow at 12. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.